Well, good morning. We're so glad you're able to be here with us this morning. Please open your bulletins, which I'm sure our diligent ushers have given you on your way in. And the call to worship is out of the bulletin. It's taken from Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2, where it says, I'll read, and where it says, women or men, you read. Do we stand for this? Please stand for the call to worship. There is an asterisk, so I should have known that. Ladies, come and worship the Lord.
I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart.
Men, come and worship the Lord.
I will tell all the ladies.
Come, one and all, and worship the Lord.
I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High.
Let's sing the praises of his name by turning to hymn number 390, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. 390.
Descend on our heart today and enable our worship to be worship in spirit and in truth. For that is the kind the Father desires and deserves. And we pray that you would fill us with your living presence. As we have sung for that presence to be here, we ask it now in prayer. That we might worship as the children of God who have been taught by Jesus to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
seated.
We've got several announcements we're going to call your attention to. Vacation Bible School is hard upon us. It's a week from tomorrow it begins. And we have openings left in kindergarten, first and second grade, and fifth and sixth grade. So if you have kids that would like to be part of this, if you'd like your kids to be part of this, we'd love to have them. If you have neighbors, please let them know about Vacation Bible School, that there are openings in those grades. As far as preschool crafts are concerned, we have a whole list of things that you can put in the Welcome Center. One thing that's listed here that we don't have enough of, that we actually do have enough of, we're all set on, is the adhesive-backed craft foam. So I know that was weighing heavily on people to go out and get adhesive-backed craft foam, so don't do it if you're tempted to, you know. We've got a bunch of other things in the bulletin as well. There's a special business meeting this Thursday night at 7 p.m. to elect the pastoral search committee. I believe we're going to be meeting in the big room on the other wing of the church, so please go over there. And if you'd like to stick around afterwards and pray with us, we pray here in the sanctuary. We'll have it as cool as we can on Thursday evening. There's a list of proposed members of the pastoral search committee. And then today, for the youth group, at 12:30, we'll be meeting at the Cellini's for a pool party and cookouts. There's a whole list of other things that we have going on as well with the youth. We've got Ultimate Frisbee on Tuesday evening at 7:30. There's high school and college age Bible study on Wednesday evening, and a number of other things as well. So please keep the kids in prayer, keep us in prayer as leaders, and we want to see great things happen in all that. And we trust God that He will bring it about.
Please.
It says craft teachers. We need craft helpers. We need helpers. If you can come even one day to help, I'd be happy to have you. If you're an adult, you will have to do a chore. It's very simple. It's very quick. But if you can only come one or two days, see me or see Doug right after service and let us know what days you might be available to help out. And teachers who are here, I have your stuff for you. So see me after church.
Now, please do that. Thank you. The Old Testament reading is in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 12, and I invite you to look there, page 1169 in the Pew Bible. Which terms this the call of Jeremiah. Page 1169. Hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord came to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see a branch of an almond tree," I replied. The Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." The word of God for the people of God. I invite you to respond, perhaps as Jeremiah did later, by this hymn, "Here I Am, Lord," number 589. I invite you to stand as you are able. tradition you hear in that song comes in the refrain, I will go, Lord, if you lead me. And if you remember from the passage in Jeremiah, God said, I will be with you to give you the strength, to give you the guidance, whatever it is that you need. If you will go, God says, I will be with you. So that question is answered. Are there concerns that need to be brought forward today that anyone has filled out on the green slips? Start by referring to the prayer list that's in the bulletin, just some updates. Appreciate your prayers for my aunt, Laura Gosner. She is recovering now at a rehab facility in Wheeling, West Virginia. Surgery went very well. I also want to mention this Dottie Pope. Notice it's the Bay Copy Rep's sister. This woman is on our prayer list because your church secretary is so good at asking, is there anything I can pray for you about when anyone comes in that office from outside, whether it's a repairman, whether it's a sprayer for bugs, whether it's a rep copy. So it's because of Diane's ministry of prayer that she finds out about these needs. She prays at the time and has put this person, Dottie Pope, on our list. And Nancy Andrews' daughter, is home now. She has recovered from the collapsed lung, and chemo has actually begun. So we're happy that she's made that progress. Today we've been asked to, also an update here, the bottom of baby Evelyn, the blood clot is gone. So we're thrilled that that baby's health is recovering. Also asked for prayer that a motorcyclist was hit outside the church last night in a traffic accident. Pray for full recovery for motorcyclists. You don't know the name. So let's go to God together in prayer. God, it is wonderful that your people can come to you in prayer. Your word says that by the one Spirit we have access through Christ to our Father in heaven. We come in the name of Jesus. We come not on our own merit, not because we're so good or right or special, but because of Jesus Christ. We don't come in our own strength, but in the strength of your Spirit. We come to a God who has shown us perfect love by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to become our Lord and Savior. A God whose power is evident in the creation around us. A God whose mercy is enthroned. We come to a throne of grace to receive the help we need in our times of trouble. And we know that our prayers are heard by our Father who knows our needs before we ask. God, we give you thanks today for the progress so many have made in their healing and their recovery. Especially thankful for a blood clot that has been threatening the life of the baby and that it is gone. We are grateful that others have gotten home from hospitals, have gotten through surgeries. We continue to pray for healing, and especially we pray for a full recovery for this motorcyclist hit outside our church. That you would attend that person and through the doctors and treatments, give them health and healing. Lord, as you search our hearts today, you know where we stand in relationship to you. You know the level of our faith. You know the depth of our doubts. You know our fears, our anxieties. You know our grief, our pain. We thank you that you understand what it is to have these human emotions for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is fully human. and shared in all of these feelings. We have a great high priest who is sympathetic and understands what it is to hurt in every way. And so we pray with thanksgiving for the understanding our Savior has, for the knowledge that Christ is with us in all that we face or encounter in life, so that we might have strength to endure and to even overcome and be more than a conqueror through Him who loves us. As Your Word says, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Lord, we pray that Your will be done on earth. We say that phrase in the Lord's Prayer, but we want Your will to be done in talks with Iran about nuclear weapons. We want Your will to be done in talks in the Eurozone about Greece and a bailout. We want Your will to be done wherever people are talking, because at least if they're talking, Lord, they aren't fighting. And we pray for those places where fighting continues, that those who fight against what is evil would be victorious, that You would help them persevere and overcome in the fight against what is evil and destructive in the world, whether it's a terrorist group or a disease, famine or a drought, wherever, Lord. You have people working for what is good and right. We pray You'll give them strength and success. Thank You for the upcoming vacation Bible school, kids that are registered, and for the opportunities they're going to have to not just have fun for a week here, but to learn about Jesus and His power and love. And we pray Your Spirit will bless every helper, every teacher. And where there are gaps, Lord, in the staff, we pray that You'll touch someone and fill that gap today. That there might be a full complement of people on hand to guide and bless, direct that effort. Thank You that the nominating committee has put together the search committee for a new pastor. And we pray Your blessing on Thursday night's meeting, that there would be enough people present to express their interest and concern for the future of the church, that we can move forward and begin the search process. Father, just for the simple joy of being able to have enough health and strength to be here today, we give You thanks and offer to You again our heartfelt gratitude and our love for Your blessings. In Christ's name, amen. We can continue the worship of God with the presentation of tithes and offerings. of our love for you, our gratitude for your blessings, a symbol that we are yours. We are your people. We are your children. We pray that you will use us as you use these gifts for the good of the church and the glory of your name. Amen. Number 670 is Make Me a Blessing. If you notice, you're really setting yourself up when you sing these songs. You're asking the Spirit of the Lord to descend upon your heart. You're saying, here I am, Lord. And now you're wanting God to make you a blessing. So you're making yourself available to God when you sing these songs. Be aware of that, because that's what God wants. He wants people who are willing to go and do and be his people. Let's sing together. Make me a blessing. And if you want to sway with this one, that's okay too. You'll feel it. I'm going to be reading a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 1 through 22. But I won't be reading it when I read it. I won't be reading it from the Pew Bible. If you want to look ahead and just read along, I'm going to use a different version today. I like this other translation, the New Living Translation, and I'll be using it for the reading. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. It teaches us who you are, and it teaches us who you want us to be. As we see today your work in the lives of two different people, we pray to see how you work in our lives as well, that you would make us a blessing to others as you made these two a blessing to each other and to so many others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All of us have to get up and go. We might get up and go to work, get up and go to school, get up and go to the doctor, get up and go to the grocery store. Sometimes at night, though, other guys have to get up and go. We can be reluctant to get up and go. Kids may not want to get up and go to the dentist. Okay? Like that? Or adults may be reluctant to get up and go to a job. They just hate. Lot, remember, was so reluctant. The Magnum. Thank you. Lot was so reluctant to leave Sodom that the angels had to practically drag him out of the town. Sometimes you want to get up and go the other way, like Jonah, and go to Nineveh. No, I'm going to Tarshish the other way. Sometimes you don't want to get up and go at all. The guy says in the morning, Mom, I'm not going to get up and go to church today. Why not? Well, I got two reasons. People there don't like me, and I don't like them. Well, I'll give you two reasons why you are going to go. You're 45 years old. You're the pastor. We do make excuses, and we don't want to get up and go. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I'm too old. I'm too this. I'm too that. Jeremiah, you heard it earlier, said, I'm too young. Moses said, I'm too bad at public speaking. Sometimes we just think our get up and go, got up and went. Today, I'm here about Jesus who called two different men to get up and go. Saul of Tarsus, Ananias from Damascus. Either one could have drugged their heels like Lot in Sodom or run the other way like Jonah. But each one did what Jesus told them to do. So today, we can learn from their example. But then we have to decide if we will follow it or not. So here's their story in Acts chapter 9, 1-22. Again, from the New Living Translation. Meanwhile, Saul, this is later who will be the Apostle Paul, but he's Saul now. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath. He was eager to destroy the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest and requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way that he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was nearing Damascus on this mission, a brilliant light from heaven suddenly beamed down upon him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, sir? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you are to do. The men with Saul stood speechless with surprise, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but they saw no one. As Saul picked himself up off the ground, he found that he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days, and all that time he went without food and water. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you arrive, ask for Saul of Tarsus. He's praying to me right now. I've shown him in the vision a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so that he can see again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And we hear that he's authorized by the leading priests to arrest every believer in Damascus. But the Lord said, go and do what I say. For Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for me. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you may get your sight back and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight, and then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and was strengthened. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogues, saying, he is indeed the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed. Isn't this the same man who persecuted Jesus' followers with such devastation in Jerusalem? And we understand that he came here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priests. Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus could not refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. But first, let's consider Saul. Saul decided to get up and go to Damascus to arrest those who followed the way of Jesus because he was convinced that was the wrong way. But, by the way, note here that Christianity was known as the way, a way of life, a way to live, which means that it's a matter of right behaviors as well as right beliefs. It really amounts to living like Jesus, doesn't it? Who said, I am the way. But on the way to Damascus, Jesus blazed into Saul's life, stopped him in his tracks. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? The voice knew Saul. But Saul didn't know the voice. Who are you, sir? I am Jesus. Now, try to imagine how Saul felt at that moment of revelation. Saul was convinced, you see, that Jesus was dead. The official story, of course, was that the disciples had stolen his body and then began to preach that he was raised and resurrected and alive. Saul knew that that story was a lie. Jesus was dead. So he was on a mission to stop and silence everyone who believed that Jesus was alive. Clearly, then, he's on the other side, like we spoke last week. But now we see Jesus is not dead. And this Jesus who is not dead has found Saul, who may wish at that moment that he was dead. But Jesus confronted and accused Saul of persecuting him because Jesus took Saul's attacks on his disciples as a personal attack on himself. St. Augustine once preached that this was the head of the body in heaven, crying out to Saul on behalf of the members of the body on earth. Jesus said a similar thing in Matthew 25, that when you visit the sick and the hungry and you feed them and you come to the prisoner and you take care of people who are my followers, the least of my brothers, you do it to me. He takes personally our treatment of others. So whether it's from persecution like that from Saul or just from the pains of life and the hungers and the griefs and the sorrows and troubles we encounter, it's important to see that Jesus takes that personally. He suffers that with us. For we are members of his body. And he feels the pain we feel. Jesus then told Saul, get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. But Saul is now blind. He was going to be helpless in Damascus. Easy prey for the very people he had come there to arrest. So it would be a lot safer to go back to Jerusalem. Damascus is too risky. He's got friends in Jerusalem. But Saul did what he was told to do. Saul spent the next 3 days in the dark. And he's fasting and waiting for the Lord's next move. That move involved Ananias, this disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke to him, Ananias. And unlike Saul, Ananias knew the speaker. Here I am, Lord. And Jesus said, get up and go to Straight Street. And at the house of Judas, you'll find Saul of Tarsus. He knows you're coming because he's seen you in a vision. That's the only way he can see now. I want you to lay your hands on him so that he receives his sight. Now this is not written, but Ananias had just come back from a round of golf at the Damascus Country Club after a very long, hard week of work at the office. And he had to shower quickly and have dinner because the committee was coming over to plan the annual church revival that night. So Ananias began to make excuses. Lord, I'm really busy tonight. I've got the committee coming over and all. Why don't you ask Silas? He's just down the street. This is just not a good night for me to go calling, Lord. Maybe some other time. Actually, Ananias was free that night, but he did raise a rather significant concern. Lord, this guy is a killer. I know about all the evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he's only here to arrest us. Saul doesn't like me, and I don't like Saul. He's on the other side, Lord. Ananias was understandably hesitant, but Jesus was not impressed. Go. I have chosen Saul to bring my name before many people and to suffer many things for my name's sake. It's okay, Ananias. Get up and go. And so Ananias did what Jesus told him to do. Ananias found Saul, greeted him as a brother. And the Lord opened his eyes. Saul got his sight back. He got saved, baptized, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And within days, Saul was in the Jewish synagogues proclaiming, Jesus is the Son of God. And as you know, as the Apostle Paul, he went on to start many churches and write many letters in the New Testament as a fruitful apostle of Jesus Christ. So if you have benefited from anything you have read in Philippians, Ephesians, Galatians, or others, or from the story of Paul the Apostle, then you have benefited from the obedience of Ananias, who went to Saul of Tarsus before he was called the Apostle. Now here's the point of application for us. Jesus told Saul to get up and go. And Saul did. Despite the certain suffering that he would face, Saul never regretted his decision to obey Jesus. He says so later in his testimonies. Ananias was commanded to get up and go. And he did, despite his fear of Saul and the risks that he faced. Ananias did not regret obeying that command because he saw the Lord work in Saul's life. So here's the challenge for you. When Jesus calls you, get up and go. Despite the inconvenience, despite the cost, despite the difficulty, or even the danger, get up and go when the Lord calls you. You will not regret being obedient to Jesus, the Lord. What if Ananias had protested that his get up and go got up and went? He just didn't go. Or if Ann and Adoniram judgment went the other way when God said, go to Burma? What if the people who founded First Baptist Church of what was then North Abington said they were too busy to get up and start a new church? What if the person who influenced you to become a Christian did not get up and go to you when the Lord called? See, the Church of Jesus Christ is here, there, and everywhere today because the people of God were willing to get up and go when the Lord called them. And you can be next. Because you don't have to be famous or rich or powerful or influential. You only have to be willing. Like Jeremiah, like Isaiah, like Lydia, like Ananias or Saul. It may seem like the only time church members are willing to get up and go is after the benediction. Nearly half members of any given congregation don't even get up and go to worship on Sunday. At the deacon's meeting Wednesday, Clay showed us a list he had compiled from the membership of over 90 names, members of this church who have not been here in quite a while. 90. That may be more than we have here today. majority of members in any congregation don't get up and go to Sunday school or Bible study or prayer meeting or work day. So many of us Christians just don't get up and go when the Lord calls us to do it. I challenge you to don't be one of them. When Jesus calls you to get up and go to do something, don't make excuses. Don't go the other way, because if you do, you'll only regret. Your only regret will be your disobedience. The Lord blesses those who do His will, who get up and go when and where He calls them. Our obedience is what makes us co-workers with Christ in His redeeming work on earth. Our obedience lets us share His blessings. Disobedience breaks our fellowship with Jesus. It burdens us with guilt, keeps us from spiritual growth, and prevents our being effective in the cause of Christ. I don't want you to regret any of that. Get up and go. Who knows what good will come out of your obedience to the call of Jesus. Look what happened from one man, Ananias, doing the one thing that we know Jesus called him to do. Who knows what role you will have in the spread of the gospel, or the growth of the church, or the glory and honor of Christ. You only find it out if you get up and go when Jesus calls you. He might call you to just get up and go across town to a nursing home visit. See Lucille Cullman, Grace Simmons, go see George Scribner. I might call you to go to La Romana the first time or again. Jesus might call you to reach out to children at DBS next week. Or maybe even to contact one of those 90 missing members. You probably know at least one. If every one of you contacted one of them, most of them will be contacted. They need to know somebody here misses them. They need to know that somebody here wishes they were here again. For whatever reason they're not here, that really is immaterial. What they need to know is that this church cares about them and is willing to make a phone call or a visit or shoot them an email. And so, one way or another, they are contacted by the members who are here. Let them know that the members who are here wish they were here too. I can't get to 90 people. You can. One by one by one. The call of Jesus may not knock you to the ground like it did Saul. It may not be an audible voice of Jesus like he and Ananias heard. More likely than not, the call of Christ is going to be this persistent pull on your heart. Something you just know the Lord is calling you to. Growing conviction in your mind of the right course of action. Might be the nudge of the Spirit that uses a passage of the Scripture to encourage you to take a step of faith. Might be the human voice of a friend in need or the cry of a hurting stranger. Who knows, it might even be a sermon from your interim minister. When the Lord calls you, He'll be wanting you to get up and go to the person or place He's calling. Back then, in the scripture we read, it was not, any of you guys down there on the road want to be an apostle? It was Saul. It wasn't, hey, any disciples in Damascus available today? It was Ananias. The Lord knows your name too. Like it or not, the Lord knows your name. When He calls you to get up and go, it's because it's you He wants to do what He wants you to do. And so the best thing and the only right thing to do is to get up and go when Jesus calls. After all, Jesus, the Son of God, was willing to get up and go from His throne of glory to the cross on Golgotha to save you. Who are we to say no when this same Son of God calls us to get up and go? Let's pray. Lord, we confess it takes a lot of trust to say yes how it is you calling us to do something. Because we don't see the future. We don't know what the outcome of our action, our words, will be. But you have promised to be with us when you call us to go. Promise to even give us words to speak at the time we need to speak them. Take from us, oh God, any fear of being sent. Any fear of being called. Grant us the willingness that Ananias showed to go when you call. Use us, we pray, that our church might grow, the witness of Christ might be strong and vibrant, and your glory would be revealed in our lives. Amen. A hymn of response is number 668. I'll go where you want me to go. May God grant us integrity and meanness when we sing it. That we will go. And we will speak. And we will be who God wants us to be. Let's stand together. Let's sing. Blessing it with our witness and our care. Receive God's benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit enable us to fulfill the songs we have sung today, that we would go where the Lord wants us to go and say what the Lord wants us to say, be what the Lord wants us to be in our lives. For He is with us even to the end of the age. Amen.